This morning I want to share a message with you that the Lord has laid upon my heart that all of us can apply to our lives. And the scripture uses many illustrations, many examples to illustrate us with or to teach us how we can grow in our faith. Regardless of where we're at, if we're just a beginner, if we have been walking with Jesus for 30 years or 30 days, all of us need, well, I believe what the Lord is teaching us today. And so let's be attentive to what the Lord is saying to us today. How many of you like to be compared to something? You ever been compared with something and you figure, well, what does that have to do with real life? How do you like to be compared to a tree? Well, if you were all trees, this would be a big jungle here. Well, to me, that's no problem. I grew up in a jungle of Central America. I love the jungle. The scripture does actually compare us to trees. But don't be offended. You're in good company. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, it speaks of Jesus, and it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground." Speaking of Jesus, it says, "He shall grow up like a tender plant," comparing Jesus to a plant. This same Jesus whom the prophet talked about hundreds of years before, later on, when he did come, he got up in the synagogue and he read a scripture. And then after he had read that out of Isaiah chapter 61, I'll be reading that in a minute. And then he said to the people, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Turn to Isaiah chapter 61, if you have your Bibles with you. Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 1. This is speaking of Jesus, the one who would grow up like a tender plant and like a root out of the dry ground. Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison doors," or the prison, "to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." The prophet spoke of Jesus coming. He says, this is what he will do. He will come and he will bring good news. He will come and proclaim liberty to the captives. That means he will set them free that are bound. He will bind up the brokenhearted. And he will set the prisoners free. And it says that he will bring the oil of joy for mourning, for those who mourn. And he will give the spirit of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness. Why is he doing this? He says, so that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of God. That means he is the one who has planted it, he is the one who has done it, and it says it is for his glory. So we are to be called the trees of righteousness, and we're going to take a look at some of the things that the scripture has to say about treason, as I began to study, as I realized, I couldn't include not nearly all of what the scripture has to say about trees, about plants, and how that compares to us. But there's some very definite areas where we need to learn from, where we can see the parallel between our lives and that of trees and plants. In Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 24, God says here what he does with the trees. Now, when he's speaking of the trees here, he's also speaking of people, but he uses the parallel of trees. He says, "And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." Now we can see a lot of parallels here. First of all, God says, "I have brought down the big tree, the tall tree." One of the brothers at a prayer meeting shared last night how he had been asking God about something totally impossible, if he could do that. As he walked over into the park to the big tree where he would often go and meet, he saw that lightning had struck that tree and it was down. Can God bring down the big tree? Oh, yes, he can. But he's not primarily talking about trees here. He's talking here about people. When Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of this great tree that grew, whose peak was up into heaven, Daniel said to him, "This tree is you." He was likened unto a tree. And this tree was chopped down. It was a huge tree, but it was brought low. God says, "I am the one who brings the tall tree down." Oh, he doesn't stop there. He says, "I am the one who exalts the little tree." Last week, our neighbor had a huge tree growing in his front yard, and he's telling me how when he moved there, it had just been a little tree. And now it was so big that the hydro company was concerned about it, and they were coming to trim it. And he says, "Why don't you trim it even with the ground?" Took it down. God says, "I exalt the little tree." In 25 years, this little tree had grown to be a huge tree. But then God says, "I not only bring down the big tree and exalt the little tree, the low tree, but," he says, "I dry up the green tree." Not only do I dry up the green tree, we've all seen that happen, but he also does something that we've probably never seen happen in the physical world, that God says that I make the dry tree to flourish. I've seen a lot of trees, and we have some in the front yard here. Some beautiful white birch. But they didn't get leaves in the spring anymore. They had all dried up. And nobody believed that they would ever flourish again, so they went and cut them down. Nobody even believed that they would ever sprout again, so they went and dug up the trunk and the roots and everything and covered it in with dirt. Seen a lot of times trees dry up. And when they do that, as far as we're concerned, the only use is for lumber or for firewood. What other use is there for them? But God says, "I take the dry tree and I make it to flourish, cause it to grow." Now we could classify these as four types of people. The tall tree, God says, those who exalt themselves, I am able to humble them. I will bring them down. That's what he said about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar walked on the roof of his palace or in his palace there. And he says, "Is this not this great Babylon which I have built with my power to the glory of my name?" It says, while the words were still in his mouth, God struck him. God is able to bring the tall tree down So we could say the tall trees here represent the proud. But then he says that I exalt the low tree. God says the humble he will exalt. Those who are willing to deal with their own pride and humble themselves, God says, I will exalt them. But those who refuse to humble themselves and exalt themselves, God says, I will humble them. I will bring them down. But then he also says that the green tree, he dries it up. Jesus said, he who keeps his life will lose it. But then he says, he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will keep it unto eternal life. So those who count themselves dead, God gives them life. He causes them to flourish. But those who want to live their own life, do it their own way, live for their own pleasures, the green tree he represents here, he says, I will dry them up. He who tries to save his life, he who tries to keep his life for his own self, will end up losing it. So here we see the four types of trees represented by four types of people whom God says he deals with. In Colossians 1:13, talks about a tree that has been transplanted. Now all of us, by nature, were unfruitful, unproductive, unprofitable trees. We were wild trees, not fit for the orchard, not fit for bearing fruit. But in Jesus Christ, something happens when we come to Christ and he gives us new life. And Colossians 1 verse 13 talks about that. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated, or we could say transplanted, us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When we come to Jesus for salvation, he takes us and transplants us into another realm, into his orchard, if you will. In Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those whom God has planted into his family, into his orchard, he says they will flourish. In other words, they will bear fruit. This is the kind of tree that was grown naturally outside of the orchard, but whom he has taken and whom he has transplanted into his orchard. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, is a beautiful verse, and it talks about this kind of tree that has been transplanted, that has been taken out of the wilderness, out of the place where it had no chance to survive, and has been transplanted into a place where it can flourish. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat comes, or shall not even notice when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or not worry or concern in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know what God says? Those whom he has taken, whom he has transplanted into his orchard, into his kingdom, he says he's planted them right by the river. And he says these trees, they take their roots right down to the water. And he says they won't even notice when there's a hot day. Have you ever transplanted a little tree and then you had a dry spell, no rain for a couple of weeks, and you see how that little tree will just wilt? And you got to give it lots of water for it to catch on. But he says this tree that is planted by the Lord will not even notice when there is a hot spell, Why? Because it's got plenty of water. It says they won't even take notice, they won't even worry, they won't even be concerned during a year of drought. Why? Because it is planted by the river. Its roots are right down by the water. It says its leaf will remain green, and it will continue to flourish, it will continue to bear fruit. What kind of tree do you want to be? Do you want to be a tall tree? You can exalt yourself, but God says, I'll bring you down. Or you can be a little tree, humble yourself. Ask the Lord to transplant you where you can flourish and where you can grow. Right by the water. Maybe you are still outside. You have not been transplanted into His kingdom, into His orchard. And you are a dry tree, a dead tree. And maybe you look at your own life and say, it's hopeless. It's too late. There's no hope. And I've many times had people come and ask me, do you think there's still hope for me? I think it's already too late for me. Oh, I praise God for His word. Because His word gives hope to the hopeless. Hey, when it's already too late in our, according to our understanding, then God gives hope. He gives life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. We notice that there is two parts to a tree. First of all, there's the obvious part that we see, the trunk, the branches, and the leaves. The tree that we see, that's the obvious part. But there's another part to the tree which we don't see, and that is the roots. They're covered. They are hidden from view. They are in secret. And nobody would deny when they see a tree that this tree has no roots. We know that they have roots. How do we know? By what we see. And the same thing the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1, that which may be known of God has been revealed by the things that are seen. And just by what we see, we know that He is who He says He is, the Almighty, that there is a Creator, that there is one with infinite wisdom and power. We know that from what we see. In the same way, when we see a tree, we know that a tree has a root system. There was a big tree standing here at the corner which we had to take out this last summer to make room for the building addition there. And nobody of us had ever seen its root system. But it was a big tree. It was a flourishing tree. And no one would have argued the fact that this tree had a big, healthy root system. But nobody had ever seen it until the backhoe came and started digging around it and found a huge trunk with lots of roots going in every direction. It was a truckload. This tree had its roots down deep. It was strong, it was healthy, it was firm. And when they cut that trunk, it was clear and clean all the way through. It was a healthy tree trunk. It was a healthy tree. But we did not know that, what the roots were like, because we had not seen it. But from what we could see, we knew that it was, just from what we could see. Another example, we have a tree at the end of our house. It's a big tree, we like it. It's an old tree, but it's not a healthy tree. For the last couple of years, there have been big branches that have just gotten very small leaves, and they withered already early in the season, and those areas of the tree have just kind of dried up. You know what that tells me? It has a problem in the root system. Now you might say, well, you've never seen the roots. How can you make a judgment like that? How do you know this tree has bad roots? It shows in the branches. A healthy root brings a healthy tree, a healthy branch, and healthy fruit. And so we can see that, we can make that judgment by what we see. In Psalm 51 verse 6, it says, behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In our root system as trees, God requires a healthy root system in order for us to be healthy trees. It says God requires truth on the inward part, honesty on the inward parts. Not trying to pretend something, but being honest, truthful about what is beneath the surface. Because if it isn't truth, if it isn't honest, if it isn't upright, it will show in the life. It will show in our life. He says he requires, he desires truth and the inward parts. Colossians 2 verse 7 talks about us being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Peter talked in Sunday school today about the importance of faith, how our righteousness is credited to us by faith. Faith is something that's below the surface. I can't tell if somebody walks in through the door whether they have faith or not. I can tell something about them. The fact that they come to the place where believers gather, that tells me something. So I can already tell something about a person by where they come, by where they go, by who they associate with. That already tells us something about them. But faith is that which is below the surface, below the ground level, in secret. That's where faith is at work, just like the roots of a tree are in the ground below the surface. We cannot see the roots, yet we can see the effects of the roots. We can even tell the condition of the roots by the tree. And that's what it talks about, being rooted in Christ. Just like a tree is rooted in the ground, we are to be rooted in Christ. The roots of the tree are there for two purposes. One is to hold that tree in place during times of storm, to keep it from falling over. That's where the anchors are of that tree. Number two, those roots are there for feeding the tree. That's what keeps a tree healthy, and that's what feeds it. The same thing with our faith. Our faith is there as an anchor to the soul, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. That's by faith. But then also, it is by faith in the Word of God that we are fed, that our spiritual life is fed so that we can grow and be healthy and be strong. And when there is no water for the roots to feed the tree, the leaves begin to wilt. We need that feeding every day, all the time, just as the trees need that moisture, that water, to remain healthy, for the leaf to remain green, and for the fruit to be produced. Our root system is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. God is love, and we are to be rooted and grounded in him. As a healthy believer, as a healthy tree, we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Being rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. He is the one who brings stability to our life, and he is the one who gives us life. He is our life. Then in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but has now been revealed. Now it says, him who has the power to establish us. Who is that? That is Christ. If we are rooted in Christ, Christ will establish us and keep us from blowing over. When the winds of adversity blow, when the tornadoes of temptation come over, when the hurricanes of pressure come upon our lives, it is Christ and his power that is able to keep us from falling, the scripture says. If we are rooted and grounded in him, he will keep us from being blown over. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21, we read, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. We cannot establish ourselves. We can make all kinds of determinations and promises and commitments and form habits and say, I'm going to be strong. Oh, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to let this one blow me over. But that is foolishness if we try to do it in the energy of our flesh. That's like the tree saying, I can stand up. I don't need those roots down there. I'm fine. I'm well balanced here above ground, and I can stand. That's foolish. The one who is able to establish us in Christ and anoints us, in other words, gives us life, is God through Christ Jesus. Now Romans 11:16 says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. If the roots are good, if the roots are solid, if the roots are healthy, so will the tree be, so will the branches be. What kind of tree are we? Maybe we have lots of leaves, and maybe we've even added a little color and spruced it up a bit, and maybe even ornamented it to make it look real nice. Makes it look real nice. But what kind of tree are we? As the root, so is the tree. If the root be holy, the tree will be holy. In Matthew 7 verse 16, Jesus again compared us to trees here. Beginning at verse 16 in Matthew chapter 7, he says, you shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who are the good trees? The good trees are those who have their roots in Jesus Christ. Those who take their very life from Jesus. Those who are established and settled by him. Those who are empowered by him. Those are the ones whom we will notice that by their fruit, we will be able to tell what kind of root they have. The root, or the fruit, reveals the root. He says a good tree, a healthy tree, a good tree cannot bear evil fruit. Even nature teaches us that. Or in an evil tree or an unhealthy tree, a sick tree cannot bear good fruit. It doesn't work. In the same way, he says, this is how we are. Then he goes on to say, he says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian, not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who tries to follow the rules, but it says that he who does the will of my Father. What is the will of his Father? The will of the Father is that each one of us would be transplanted from where we were born in sin, that we would be transplanted into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, into his orchard. And then it is his will that we would be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, that we would take our very life from him, that our righteousness would be of him. Just like the tree takes its power, its strength, its health from in the ground, so we take our righteousness, our health, our strength from Jesus Christ, from being rooted and grounded in him. He says, by their fruit, you will be able to know them. You'll be able to tell what kind of root system it has by the tree, by the kind of fruit it bears. What kind of tree, or what kind of fruit, rather, does this talk about? There's many different fruit that the scripture talks about, and we're just going to refer to a few. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Being rooted, being grounded, unmovable in Christ, just abiding in him. You know, just like a tree has to remain, the roots have to remain in the ground in order for it to produce fruit. So he says that we are to remain in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, the fruit will be good works. And these good works, he says, will not be unfruitful. They will produce fruit. That fruit will be seen in our lives by our good works that we do. Now we might sometimes be tempted to put on a show by tying on some fake fruit on the branches. And from a distance that may look fine, ornamental, but it's not genuine, it's not real. And as we will see, there's a time of inspection coming when this will be revealed. In Matthew 5 verse 16, talks again about this fruit. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The fruit of abiding in Christ is good works that bring glory to God. Not good works that attract attention to us, but good fruit that is produced in the lives of others that brings glory to God. In Galatians 5 verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that's really what it is all about with having our roots in Christ Jesus, it is the Spirit of God that empowers us, that enables us to bear fruit. Now it talks about what this fruit is. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are not something that we try to produce, that we try to put on. This is something that the Spirit of God produces in us as we abide in him, as we keep our roots in Christ, in his word, feeding on his word. The fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit within us. It is not something that we muster up in the energy of the flesh. We cannot produce good fruit. An evil tree cannot produce good fruit. But a good tree will produce good fruit. Another fruit is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. He says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks in his name. The fruit of praise, the fruit of thanksgiving. openly giving thanks to God, being thankful. You know, a tree that has a bad root system is a tree that cannot produce healthy fruit. A healthy fruit is thanksgiving. Here's a fruit that we can inspect in our in each other's lives. Is there thanksgiving? Is our life characterized by thanksgiving, or is it characterized by complaining? Is it characterized by seeing the faults in others, or do we see our own faults? Is it characterized by praising God, or is it characterized by trying to draw attention to ourselves to get some praise and recognition for ourselves? What kind of fruit is our life producing? As a good, healthy tree, we are to grow. A healthy tree is a growing tree. And so, as trees, we need to grow. It is God's purpose and plan to exalt the little trees, to cause us to grow and become strong in Him. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Our growing is to be in Christ. It is to be in grace and in the knowledge of Him. As we get to know Him, as we abide in Him, have fellowship with Him, we get to know Him better, and we become stronger, more firmly rooted and established in Him. And the two areas, in grace and in knowledge, is where we are to grow. And again, this is to the glory of God forever and ever. John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Here he uses the example of a branch abiding in the trunk or in the vine or in the tree. This is a branch by itself cannot produce anything. A branch by itself withers and dies. But a branch that abides in the trunk, in the vine, will produce fruit. And he says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." So we are totally dependent on him. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in us richly. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might be healthy." Sin is sick. As he says, let thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might be healthy, that I might bring forth good fruit. And when we allow the word of God to dwell in us richly, first of all, it says in all wisdom, and the wisdom that comes from above, wisdom from God, seeing life from God's perspective. And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another. And this is why we need one another. We need one another to teach one another. How do we do this? By humbly sharing what God has taught us. That's how we teach others. Not by proudful boastings of what all I know, or trying to impress someone else with our knowledge, but humbly sharing with another how God has taught us from His Word, thereby teaching. And then admonishing, that means encouraging one another. When we see another in need, when we see them struggling, to encourage them. and to encourage ourselves. When David was in a situation where nobody was encouraged, everybody was discouraged, it says that he went and encouraged himself in the Lord, and then in turn he encouraged others. Encouraging, admonishing one another. Now it says we're supposed to do this by teaching and admonishing, and also through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's a good way to admonish, to edify one another. And then the trees will be inspected. There will be an ultimate inspection. Now, God says that we are fruit inspectors. He says, by their fruit you will know them. We will know each other and our spiritual life by the fruit that we bear. But there's another level of inspection that is coming. In Mark chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus was on his way from Bethany to Jerusalem, and it says, and seeing a fig tree having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Here was a tree that he came to inspect personally. It looked good, full of leaves, but when he went to look for fruit, it says he found nothing. And if you remember, the next day, when they came by again, Peter and the disciples, they were amazed. That tree had dried up in one day. Why? Jesus cursed that tree. Why? Because this tree was totally useless. It did not produce any fruit. He came looking for fruit and found none. He says, by their fruit, you will know them. Whether it is a genuine tree, whether it is a good tree, a healthy tree, or not. In Luke chapter 13, verse 6, he spoke a parable. Jesus spoke a parable, said a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he to the dresser, or the caretaker of the vineyard, he says, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and have found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why does it take up space here? It's useless. Cut it down. But listen to what the gardener says. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Somebody stood in the gap for this tree. The master had for 3 years come by, inspected and looked for fruit, and found none. He says, all right, cut it down. It's just taking up space here. It's of no use. But the gardener intervened. He says, have mercy. Have patience. Give me one more chance. Let me dig around it. Let me cultivate it. Let me work on it and give it one more chance. If next year it doesn't produce any fruit, then cut it down. What was he saying by that? Was he given here a lesson on gardening? No. He wasn't teaching on how we should manage our fruit trees, but he was speaking and teaching about our lives. And so he spoke a parable. A parable is a natural thing which we can take and use and compare with the supernatural, the spiritual, and learn a lesson from it. The master gardener, the one who has planted, each one of us, those who have come to Christ for salvation, he has taken us, he has transplanted us into his vineyard, into his orchard. And he is nurturing us. He is supplying for us. It says that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. There's nothing lacking. Everything is there. He's given us everything that we need. And now he expects fruit. And as to this tree, It says that the master came and looked for fruit for 3 years in a row. Jesus walked by this fig tree and he looked for fruit. But the result was the same. In both cases, they found none. In the first case, Jesus cursed that tree. He said, "May no one ever eat fruit of you again." And the next day, the tree was withered. He says, "I make the green tree to dry up." Which tree best represents you? He says, "And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord, who have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and the dry tree have made it to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." We heard in Sunday school this morning, when God speaks, it happens. When there was utter darkness, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When you and I, in our lost, sinful, hopeless condition, cry out to God for mercy, he says, "Let there be life." And there is. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you call, you will be saved. He will take you from where you grew, where you were naturally destined to die, and he will transplant you into his kingdom, where you will live forever. That's his word. What he says, he does. Now he says he desires fruit. Is our life producing fruit? Which of these trees best represents your life and my life? Is it the tall tree? Do we stand in our own and say, "Oh, no, I don't need that. Oh, maybe someday I will. But for now, I'm standing tall and strong, and I think I'm doing just fine. I don't need God." He says, the tall tree, the one who's exalted himself, he says, "I'll bring him down. Be sure of it. He'll bring him down." The low tree, the one who humbles himself and acknowledges his need, he says, "I will exalt the low tree." Are you a self-sufficient tree, a green tree? You say, "Hey, life is good." As one man said to a brother who shared the gospel with him, he says, "You know, if I were to accept Jesus Christ now, it would ruin my life." He says, "I've got everything going for me. And I would have to give all that up," he said, "it would ruin my life." He was a green tree. He thought he was self-sufficient. He thought everything would be fine. God says, "I dry up the green tree." He who tries to save his life, keep his life, he said, "will lose it." Does that represent you? Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. Maybe you have good intentions. That, oh yes, someday you want to receive Christ. But not yet. You see, I'm just in my youth right now. There's lots of exciting possibilities ahead of me. The lust of the flesh seems to be a good thing to pursue. It will bring satisfaction. It'll bring joy and happiness and all the good things. And right now, it will be very inconvenient for me. I think I'm a green tree, and so I think I'll just keep going that route. There was a man whom Jesus used in a parable who had just that. And he says, the future looks so bright that I've got to enlarge my barns to store everything that I have. Life is good. I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to tell my soul, "Live it up. You've got plenty." And you know what God said to him? He says, "That night," he said, "you fool. This night will I require your soul of you. The green tree will be dried up. The tall tree will be brought down." If you're here today, if you're young and you're healthy and full of life, and you think life offers you a lot of possibilities, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool thinking that someday down the road somewhere you will have another opportunity. How many young people do you know of that you could count off just like that, who in the last few years, whose life has been snuffed out in the twinkle of an eye, who had no opportunity to make good on all the good intentions that they had? Don't be one of them. Respond. That's why the Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Respond. Today is the day of salvation. Respond to Him. Humble yourself in His sight. He will take you and He will transplant you. And He will cause you to grow, that come what may, whether life or death, you will live forever. And He will give you that abundant life. A life that is truly worth living. A life that is glorifying to Him. It could start for you today, if you by faith respond. What kind of tree are you? We have seen these different kinds of trees. And maybe you've seen yourself in the category of one of these. Maybe you see yourself as a tree that has dried up. You say, oh, I once was green, my leaves were green, and I was bearing fruit. But that is past. I've dried up. It just seems hopeless. It just seems like it's never going to be the way it used to be. Listen, God says, the dry tree, I cause it to flourish. Does your life feel dry and dead? No fruit? Why don't you call on the Lord today and He will give you life and cause you to flourish? What a glorious opportunity we have this morning to do that. And I would like for all of us just to bow in prayer, to bow our heads, and I would like to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God this morning as the Spirit leads you. Are you among those who have heard the gospel many times and you have good intentions that you want to someday you want to be born again in due time once you have finished enjoying the pleasures of sin and so on? You have good intentions, but this morning you realize that God says, the tall tree, I'll bring it down. The green tree, I'll cause it to wither. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning. He said, and is saying to you, today is the time for you. And you are responding today and you're saying, I want to be transplanted. I want to be born anew. I want new life from Jesus Christ. And by faith, I am reaching out to Jesus Christ for life eternal this morning. Is there anyone like that here? Would you indicate that by raising up your hand up and down? Yes. See that. Is there anyone else? By faith, you're reaching out to Jesus for life. Life everlasting. You're calling on Him in your heart by faith. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone who is feel that their life is dried up, no fruit, no life, and you're desperate and you're saying, oh God, would you cause me to flourish like a dry tree coming back to life and becoming fruitful? Is there anyone here like that who say, that's me, I'm asking the Lord? Yes, yes, amen, praise God, yes, many, praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yes. Lord Jesus, I thank You this morning. I thank You for showing us from nature, Lord, and how You have created the trees and how they function, how they have to have a healthy root system in order to bear fruit and to be fruitful and to be alive and well. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that we have that potential and that You show us, Lord, from the things in our lives that are unhealthy, that are unproductive, that are dishonoring to You, and that we can call upon You and that You will cause the dry tree to flourish. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that one that called on you for salvation, who heard, Lord Jesus, that you can transplant from death to life and give eternal life. And I thank you for that one whose heart you touched. And I pray, Lord, that you would give much grace, that power and the desire to do your will, and that you would just enable them, Lord, to be obedient, to walk in obedience to your word, to take you at your word. And when you say that we are righteous and you declare us righteous, then we are righteous. When you give us life, when you speak life, then we receive life and we are alive forevermore. We thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would just cause us all to be strengthened, to be renewed in our life, in our relationship with you. May the Lord bless us with faith, with virtue, with knowledge, with temperance and patience, with godliness and brotherly kindness, and with love. And may he establish us in every good work. Lord, you are the only one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before your presence with exceeding joy. We give you all the glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen.